This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith, his coaching staff, and the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by North Shore University Health System and Walgreens.
Co-leaders of the NFC North, the Bears have whipped through the first quarter of the 2012 season with three wins, tied with Minnesota after a 34-18 rout of the Dallas Cowboys. Good evening on a Victory Tuesday in Chicago. This is Bears Insider, head coach Lovie Smith, along in just a moment.
Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith continues. Now, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
One back set, two receivers, Jay from center, play fake, slight roll, stops, now pops. Throwing, open, dive, goal line, end zone, touchdown, Devin Hester, touchdown Bears, and a beauty.
Yeah, it was beauty. First touchdown of the season for Devin. Catches a 34-yard strike in the second half from Jay Cutler. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith. With you until 8 o'clock here from Hallis Hall, coming up in a short time or so. Joined by defensive line coach Mike Fair. Good evening, Coach Smith. You are already actively busy working on the next game plan, but such is life in the National Football League. Long week to get ready for the Cowboys, extra day. Short week, less one day to get ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But everybody's got to go through it.
Yeah, everyone does. And we knew the schedule, Jeff, before, so we knew it would be that type of week last week, having an extra day, as you talked about, and the quick turnaround. Seemed like that Dallas game was about a week ago now.
You say that so often with every game. Usually, well, no, wins and losses, same. Absolutely the same.
It has to be. You do have to move on. Whether you're feeling good or you're disappointed, it's about that next game. And for us, you know, our players come back in tomorrow, and we're on Jacksonville.
You were able to watch it on the plane ride to help, you know, get that process out of the way, and then boom, right on to Jacksonville this morning.
Yes, the iPads help an awful lot. I mean, modern technology. I mean, we get so much use from it. But yes, we were able to watch the game last night. Of course, continue to watch it and critique it and all of that today.
All right, offensively, let's start with that. Jay Cutler, a 140 quarterback rating. His second half was one of the best halves of football he's played. He just seemed to come in with a ton of confidence on that opening drive of the second half, a huge drive given that the Cowboys did get on the board right before the break, but you guys deferred, so you got the second half kickoff, and that was as big as starting a game because it was still a game. It was big as starting a game fast. You had to start the second half fast.
Yeah, you know, we do talk a lot about starting fast, but it's how you finish, and we want to have the ball. In an ideal world, we want to have the ball to start the second half. Now we've had a chance to see exactly what their game plan is and what we have to do. But for us, knowing that, we talk a lot at halftime about that opening drive for our offense to answer. And not just answer. I'm talking about answering with a touchdown, and that's what we got.
And Jay on third down was outstanding last night. 7 of 8, 6 first downs, 138 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, 7 of 8, you know, on third down says a lot. Pass-wise, you know, we missed a couple run situations we need to get. But pass-wise, you know, there are a lot of important stats. But keeping those drives going on big plays like that contributed to the win.
Against a good third down defense coming into that game, one of the top five in the NFL. So the offensive line, I didn't hear a lot about it from most people writing about it because all the defensive plays were so big, the touchdowns and Jay's performance, Brandon Marshall's performance, Devin's catch. But the offensive line did a very good job. You know, there were three false starts, none of them on the offensive line yesterday.
No, in order for us to talk about, you know, what we did, you know, 7 out of 8 on third down and all those numbers, we needed to have protection. And you want to go through a game where you're not talking about the offensive line, and that's what we did. A lot's been said about Jamarcus Webb and what he hasn't been able to do, but he had a, you know, good football game against a real good football player, you know, pass protection-wise yesterday.
They seem to play, especially inside, some very powerful performances inside. A lot more power last night.
Yes, it was. I mean, again, a lot of things went well. And, you know, when you have that extra, you know, for us, we had that extra week to practice. I mean, you can get a lot of things headed in the right direction, and we did.
And then, you know, it's interesting when you bring in that heavy package or whatever you call it. So now you bring in not one last week, I think, Chris Spencer, and now you bring in two offensive linemen for short yardage. I'm certain we'll see this moving forward. Do you like that idea, and that's look good on the practice field?
It has looked good, and you have to look for ways to use all your personnel that you have up on game day. And for us, you know, we normally dress 7 offensive linemen, and unless there's an injury, they don't really do. You don't get a chance to play a lot, and we don't have a fullback on our roster right now. So to be able to use that extra guy in short yardage situation is a pretty good thing.
And Michael Bush, 5 for 7 now in the first downs on third down. That's number one in the NFL in terms of number, 5 of them. But even when you don't get one, it still irritates you, doesn't it? It irritates an offense.
it does. So that was a big play, of course, not getting that. Could have kept a drive going. But everything didn't work for us last night, but we're getting better.
Now, more of the Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Here's the snap from center, back on 5, stepping up, gives up the football, intercepted, and it's taken away. Lance Briggs to the 40 of the Cowboys, Briggs 20, Bam Bam Briggs 10, 5, end zone touchdown, unbelievable here in Dallas.
Yeah, second defensive touchdown of the game, 25th time in Lovie Smith's coaching career as the Bears boss, that the Bears have returned a touchdown defensively, and they win 20 times and 5 losses in those 25 games. Lance Briggs, what we're calling now as an interception, maybe the league looks at it and says it's a fumble. Who knows? It doesn't matter. Welcome back to Bears Insider. That was the play of the week. It's brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. All right, we're going to have fun with this part now, with Lance's return. So any chance do you think, after watching the tape, that it was maybe a fumble and maybe Henry gets a sack out of it?
Well, are you asking Henry Melton or who? Of course, he would like to.
So wouldn't
to get
Henry
the sack.
In Grapevine, Texas's very own? We stayed in Grapevine, Texas in the hotel. So we're in his hometown. He gets one sack. He would love to say he got 5 sacks now and 2 in that game.
No, that would help Henry, but either way, we know what the result says, touchdown, and whether it's an interception or fumble recovery. How about the move Lance put early on to, break free, as I think they've been reporting, and as Lance would gladly tell you, he used to play running back, and he was a pretty good one, and we saw signs of that yesterday.
Yeah, he had a 6-touchdown game in high school at running back.
I did not realize
Northern
that.
Northern California. He was all that. Now, so Tom and I, where we were situated, you can talk to your coaches, and Greg Miller, our producer, was there. It's very difficult to see what's going on, the depth perception and so forth. You're so high up at that stadium. So all I know is I saw sparks flying out of somebody's shoes because he was running so fast that we had to stop for a second because Tom was going to blurt out, it's Charles Tillman. And I just laid back for a second because I wasn't quite sure it was Lance. He was running so fast. And I know everyone has written about that today and have spoken about it, that where has that speed been? But there's a logical explanation. He's never had to run that far.
Normally you don't. And that was a long way. And then after that, seemed like, it was a little hotter and our guys were a little winded, right after that. And then having to go back. It's one thing to score a defensive touchdown, but you have to come back on the field right away. And we had planned on giving Lance a little break, but he wanted to get back out there right away. So just awesome play by Lance. He did his job. And, Jeff, I have to jump in here right now. Just like our fans, when you go on the road and you have that type of response, when our football team hears the Let's Go Bears, which we heard early on, there were so many Chicago Bear fans down there. They had as much to do with that win as our team did.
And I know people might, sit back and say and be cynical about it and say, you guys are just saying that. Uh-uh. No. No way, no how. Every road game, with the exception of Lambeau in Green Bay, you hear Bears fans, and this was this way in 2010 in that building as well. So, and they were loud. You could hear them. It resonated through everybody. And I know Jay Cutler talked about it today. He could hear it. Everybody could hear it. And it's a real good feeling. And after the game, I was just telling Lovey in the break that there was a concert going on, a live concert, and it was hundreds of Bear fans screaming, yelling, chanting, "Go Bears, go!" and dancing around. So, wearing orange and blue, so it was pretty cool. This is Bears Insider with head coach Lovie Smith at 717. Watch Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by Toyota, Sundays at 10:35 on Fox Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears Network. So with Peanuts pick 6, and clearly that was a man playing his defense, eyes on the quarterback in a zone defense at that point, right?
Yes.
And Dez Bryant didn't get the check down or whatever he was supposed to do, he didn't do. Peanut, boom, broke on it and gone. 7 return touchdowns for him. Ties Mike Brown's franchise record. Lance Briggs now with 5 return touchdowns. He is number 2 on that list. So, you know, in your time, in this era of Bears football, nearly a decade long, to have your defense, as proud as you are of it in terms of the takeaways, to have 2 of those guys in that mix among the best all-time in franchise history at that, really underscores the impact that it's making, even at this point in their careers.
It really is making an impact. And our players realize that, Jeff, how important it is. You mentioned our record when we scored defensive touchdown, but just taking the ball away, there's an emphasis on that. If you play defense here, you know that that's a base part. It isn't a good defensive performance unless we take the ball away. And our first goal on the defensive side is to score. So to see Charles, you know, do it, you know, another time. And, you know, he's been there. He's done it so many times. And, of course, to see Lance do it, it just makes the rest of the players want to do it too.
And it's the 30-plus crowd. Looks like they still have some juice.
And it's amazing what old guys can do, isn't it?
Bears Insider continues with head coach Lovie Smith. Joined this week by defensive line coach Mike Fair. Bears Insider on the home of the Bears. News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
Snap, Romo, standing in the pocket. He is hit, and down he goes. Sacked by Henry Melton. Coming back to Texas. Not far from here. Grapevine, Texas product. Henry Melton, his 4th sack of the year.
Yeah, Henry's starting to stack him up a little bit. Henry Melton with a sack as the Bears knock out the Dallas Cowboys. 38-14, a route, a nice good whooping of the Cowboys. Welcome back into Bears Insider, joined by head coach Lovie Smith and Mike Fair, the Bears defensive line coach. Good evening, coach. How you doing?
Doing great.
That was fun, huh? What a great environment to get a win.
Great environment.
Yeah, I mean, that place can be a bit overwhelming. You and I were talking on the sideline before the game, just looking at everything because Coach Marinelli came out there, and he was cracking me up. He really was. Just the thoughts that come out of his head just about football, but just looking around at the place. And it's more like I mentioned that if you let it become more than it is, and what it is a football field, then you're in trouble. If it's the sensory overload of the bells and whistles and the lights and the scoreboard and the cheerleaders and the bands, and they've got live entertainment all over, I mean, it's an event over there that Jerry Jones has put on, but, you know, you got to have your blinders on, don't you?
Oh, no question. The way I look at it, just distractions, a lot of distractions around. So you definitely have to stay into it and know exactly what you're there for.
But on the sidelines, that you guys often, as players and coaches, you don't hear everything.
No.
You're just so dialed in. So even that environment wouldn't necessarily bother you.
No, and like I said, I think it's sometimes on timeouts and just when there's a little bit of dead time, you know, where the guys, or not the guys, but just you can see so many things going on around the place that you just have to refocus.
I bet you guys have some pretty entertaining conversations during some of those timeouts. When the going's good, that's for sure, right? When the going's good, and it was, again, yesterday, and overall, and your defensive line has been just outstanding. Constant pressure on the quarterback, and yesterday you do get the sack from Henry. But you did what you anticipated doing, and Romo did what you anticipated him doing, and that is he was tough to put down on the ground.
He is. Yeah, he's a mobile guy. I mean, he's really good with moving around, you know, inside the pocket, getting out of the pocket and throwing on the run. So he was a guy, hard guy to get a hold of. But really, the back seven's done a great job. Great job, yeah. Those guys.
You guys are keep complimenting each
Man,
other.
Honestly,
I mean, verbally, too. I mean, yeah. Major Wright, first thing he said yesterday after he had another pick was because of the defensive line. Defensive line, praising the back seven, that's how it works. But, you know, in terms of Romo, how many missed sacks do you think?
Oh, boy. You know, you go through, there's a handful that you thought, you know, you could have had them, you should have had them. But, you know, the guys have done a great job in really, you know, not missing those, you know, close calls there and close sacks of this year so far. So they've done, but again, this guy's a hard guy to get hold of. He does a great job.
Well, keep it coming, man. Yeah. You know, and Lovie, you've talked about this too. Just like interceptions come in bunches, it's a feeding frenzy. Once it becomes a big deal, and you guys lead the league in the takeaway department now, 3rd in sacks. it becomes a self-fulfilling thing because everybody wants a little bite of the apple, don't they?
Yes, you all want to be a part of it and just to, you know, see the excitement that it brings, you know, to a team and, of course, for the defense. And you see the impact that those plays have as much as anything. I mean, getting the ball back. If you don't score, getting the ball back to let our offense put points on the board.
Got to ask you because I believe out of those 15 sacks, I think 10 or 11 of them have come out of the nickel. So that nickel package. Is this, and I'll ask Lovey because he's been here longer than you and he's the boss, right, Mike?
No question.
Is this the best nickel rush that you can remember having in your 9 years?
I mean, we've had some good nickel rushers around here and in those situations, but we do. This is a strong group that we have. And, of course, the seven that are active each week, but also the just kind of look at the ones that are inactive each week. I mean, it's a battle that, Mike will tell you, just to get – I mean, the first battle is just to get the pads to be able to be one of the seven to play, and then we expect big things.
Which raises a great question. So you're talking about, you know, guys like Matt Tawina, who's had plenty of starts here. You're talking about Nate Collins. You're talking about Chetta Ozugwu, who's impressed you enough to have him on the roster as a pass rusher. How do you keep them motivated to understand that, hey, this is no joke, this is a week-to-week thing where you all have a shot to being in that final seven for Sunday or Monday or Thursday?
Well, you know, no question when we come out, that's the whole mindset walking into the next week. Hey, you know, when we go get our pads on, one-on-one rushes, we got to show what we can do, show that we're ready. And whoever's, you know, rushing, whoever's rushing the best, whoever's playing the best, those are the guys that suit up.
This is Bears Insider with Bears head coach Lovie Smith and defensive line coach Mike Fair. Brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix and Verizon. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
One safety deep. Here's a quick throw. Oh! Right in the hands of Charles Tillman. 20, 15, 10, 5, end zone. Pick six. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Peanut Tillman does it again.
Yep, we mentioned earlier, now tied with Mike Brown for the franchise record for defensive touchdowns. That was his sixth interception for a touchdown. And Charles Tillman, now you could say it was one of his easier ones. That's not the case. Even though it was thrown right to him, Lovey, he was juggling, concentrating, and trying to suck that thing in. But he did it.
Yeah, he did it. And sometimes those are the toughest ones, you know, that, you know, Charles has had to make a lot of plays, but most of the time the ball isn't thrown, you know, directly to him. He got it in, and that play was, of course, huge in the game. Really gave us momentum.
And Chris Conte was blitzing on that one, right?
Yeah. It was a zone dog.
Zone dog.
Zone principles with the blitz.
And it happened so fast I didn't even have time to set the formation, and that loud, in the background, of course, was Tom Thayer, because that was good times. Mike Fair, the defensive line coach, with us. Let's start breaking down some of the guys on the defensive line and where they've come from this offseason to where we are today already. 1 month gone in the season. I'm going to go inside out and start with Henry, number one, and Stephen Paya, just how they've meshed together there inside.
You know, watching Henry just over last year and, you know, from last year to this year, the guy just gets better and better with drill work, and just you watch him and he's just got so much ability and he's getting more comfortable. And the same with, you know, Stephen. Stephen's developed through drill work, all these different things, and, you know, they're becoming really good rushers. They're understanding how to rush, and every practice you see them get better.
Both of those guys use the word consistency because Rod is banging it in their head. So are they becoming the consistent down in and down out defensive lineman?
Getting there. Yeah. Getting there. Yeah, no question.
Is anybody there yet?
Well, yeah, and you know what? Coach Marinelli's the best at, you know, he does. We pound it. You know, he pounds it into them, and just the demand of doing things right every time, every snap, every practice is the key point. So
and then with Israel Adonijé, and like Lovey pointed out, you know, one week it's one guy, another week it's somebody else. That's the beauty of having a rotation of guys. He had that big game last week. Yeah. And he just seems to be continuing to be a flexible defender, being inside, outside, doing whatever he can.
You know, and it's funny that you said that, because watching older tape, you know, from a few years ago, I didn't realize how much he had played inside. And, you know, when I go back and watch it, he was very effective rushing inside. So that's what he's been doing. He's been coming in and rushing inside and all the guys who've been moving around, but he's a guy that's been really nice, you know, watching rush inside, and he's comfortable with it, and he's good at it. So,
was this always the plan to move them all around? Or is it things that they showed you throughout training camp of the offseason and say, you know what, this might be a good plan?
Yeah, I think it's one of those, you know, evolving type of thing that you just kind of, you know, Coach Marinelli, Coach Smith, you know, we just talk about it, and you know, everybody just kind of puts their heads together, and you know, you watch the guys and see what kind of guys we have, and they're able to do that.
Well, that's the thing, and Lovey can chime in on this one, because you can get creative when you know that these guys all can do a variety of different things because they have the skill set to do it. You just don't have a guy that sticks his hand on the ground and boom, go get the quarterback. These guys can do from dropping into zone to rushing the quarterback inside or out. The stunts have been extremely effective this year. I mean, there's just so much on the table.
Yes, there is so much. And as we're just putting that group together, I mean, that's one of the things that you have to have, and that, you know, flexibility to be able to do different things. And, you just look at Stephen Pye. He plays our nose. He's our starting inside nose player. You would assume that he's a guy that can only just plug the run and be a run stopper, but that's just not the case. He's athletic. He's got great movement. He can rush the passer. And, of course, all the way up to Julius Peppers, they can all do it all.
How about Shea McClellan?
He's done a nice job. You know, he's another guy that, you know, you look at Pep, has really done a nice job taking him underneath his wing, coaching him up on some things. And he's another guy that just, you see every snap that he gets, every practice, he gets a little more comfortable. And he's coming around. And
I'm glad you used the word comfortable, too, because a lot of people would use, you know, a guy trying to get the confidence to do it. But I from talking to him and just watching how he carries himself, he's got the confidence to do it. He knows what he is capable of being. And I think if you don't see that as a player, you're never going to realize your potential.
Right. No, you're right.
And with him and the way he just carries himself has been really fun to watch. All right, how about Pep? What do you tell Pep? Honestly.
You know, he's a guy that, you know, you watch him and he's a pro. I mean, everything he does in practice, you know, he's really fun to be around. And, you know, you learn from even watching the things he does. And, like I said, you kind of, you know, he takes some other guys underneath his wing a little bit, and we'll coach him up on just some little ideas that he has. And he just, you know, he's a complete pro.
And he's a complete end, too, not just the pass rushing and just the ability to set that edge in the run game if they so choose to come that way. And Izzy does it, too. I mean, are you blessed to have guys that can be multifaceted without having to take him out of a game to be the better run stopper or the better pass rusher?
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for in an ideal world. You know, Jeff, you're looking for a guy that, you know, first run downs, a guy is stout enough and has enough bulk to be able to play the run. And we're a gap control defense most of the time. We're not asking our defensive linemen to two gap and take two gaps. We just ask them to, you know, put a hat, you know, in that their area and maintain that gap. And then have enough juice to be able to blitz, rush, win the one-on-one battles, and even occasionally drop into coverage. And it takes a special athlete to do that.
Even that first play of the game offensively for Dallas, I believe it was 11 yards for DeMarco Murray, Henry Melton made the tackle. Are there times when, okay, yeah, you didn't like that he gained 11 yards, maybe somebody was not in the right gap or whatever, but somebody else cleaned it up. So do you look at then as a positive play? Because from Henry coming all the way down that line of scrimmage to go get him.
Yeah, and it's I'm just, you know, thinking a lot about you, Jeff, that you're able to see that, you know, from where you were. But we did. We had a stunt. We had a slant on that play, and Henry was on the backside, really. He really shouldn't have been in position to come off and make that play. We had a mistake on that play, but when you have athletic guys like that, that's why we want to put 11 athletes that can run on the field. If you have guys just running to the football, a lot of times when one player, one teammate makes a mistake, you have other guys that can cover for him, and Henry can cover. I mean, there's no one with his type talent inside.
It is 7:41 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Bears Huddle and Bears Blitz brought to you by Jimmy John's. Your chance to catch up on Bears news every Wednesday and Thursday at 4:30 on Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. A couple of more minutes with Mike Fair, the Bears defensive line coach. So picking up a thought before we went to break last time about the day-to-day practice. So here's a what if. So the guys that are trying to get in that rotation of seven to get in the game and be active on Sundays, if they have, is there a scenario where a guy can get hot during practice and you say, you know what, he had such a good week of practice, we're gonna activate him for this game?
No question. You know, one-on-one rushes, you know, against our O-line, that's an opportunity for guys. You know, guys get geared up for that, to go out and compete, rush, show what you got. And that's the time to do it. And then our team stuff, you know, when we're out there, I mean, you see, you know, guys are competing. I mean, that's you. We talked about the group. It's an unbelievable group because there's a lot of talented guys there. And so every day they're competing for reps.
Corey Wooten, great start in camp. Has he seen that through?
Yeah, he's doing a nice job. Corey's doing a good job with, you know, playing the run. He's a stout, long, you know, he's a long athlete. So he's a hard guy to move around. When he's playing that head up alignment on the tight end, he's a really tough guy to root out of there. So he's doing a nice job.
Lovey, do you care as long as they have great feet and are great athletes so you can use them in the variety of ways we just discussed, how much length or lack thereof did they have? Because you do have three guys with the great length. To me, it's just if you have a mix and match of all kinds of body types, as long as they're athletic, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, in an ideal world, yeah, you would like a guy with length and size and all those good measurables, but it's really just not that important for us. The things that we are really concerned about is, you know, the lower body. Can they run? What type of athletic ability do they have? We've just never been really caught up on how much a player weighs. We want strength, of course. And then if they can just run, have good agility, we can work with them.
All right, Mike, Jacksonville, known to be a running team. You got MJD running there. He's their leading ball carrier, obviously, and number seven in the league right now. Led the league in rushing last year. So, you know, if you go in the locker room tomorrow, if you're a member of the media, you're going to get the same response from every defensive player, and that is, we got to stop the run first. It doesn't matter who you're playing, but in this case, it's pretty important.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, this, you know, running back's a great runner. Carrying the ball, he also catches the ball. So the guy's effective all the way through, you know, so we got to stop him.
Two-way player, a little bowling ball, and yes, he is there also their leading receiver, at least in receptions. Mike Fair, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Bears defensive line coach Mike Fair, back with our final comments from head coach Lovie Smith. One more segment to go on Bears Insider here on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBN.
The Bears Insider continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. WBBM.
But I mean, I don't care who the defense is. If we're getting that kind of time, you know, our guys are going to be able to get open. And they all three, four, five of those guys stepped up when their number was called. Kellen Davis got in the mix. So we spread it around. But those guys up front, you know, it starts and stops with them. And they did a great job for us.
Terrific second half. Jake Cutler on our postgame show after the 34-18 win over the Dallas Cowboys last night. Final minutes here with Bears head coach Lovie Smith on Bears Insider. It's 7:47 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. We mentioned that Jay Cutler's numbers, Lovey, on third down were outstanding, but his second half was nearly perfect. I mean, he had very few incompletions, but that rhythm, the tempo, everything that was discussed over the course of the week that Mike Tice wanted to see and wanted to bring forth through the play calling all really came to fruition in that second half. And we haven't even touched on the connection with Brandon Marshall in that second half was very good. I think every one of his seven catches went for first downs.
Yes, and you mentioned the coaching staff. Just great job with all three phases. I'm talking about coaching staff-wise. But we did have a good rhythm in that second half. First half, too. But, you know, we got ourselves in position in that first half. But then in the second half, you know, getting the kickoff, and needing to go down and answer right away to let them know what type of second half it would be. And Jay was outstanding, as he mentioned, distributing the ball around to all of the guys. You know, Devin Hester, that big touchdown for him. Dane Sanzenbacher hadn't dressed, getting action and, you know, and playing well. And then the rest of our guys, too. Alshon Jeffrey had his moment, but Brandon Marshall, that's what we brought Brandon here for, to have that type of impactful game. It was good to see him, you know, just do the things that he did.
We were walking through the security line on the way to the bus, and he turned to me. He said, some kind of game, huh? I go, I didn't play it. You had some kind of game, but he had a huge smile. So that was, in some sense, that was a relief, too, I think, to have those numbers pop like it did and have that happen in the second half for him.
Yeah, and you, all guys want to have success, but some guys deserve to have success. And just talking, you know, continuing on with Brandon, if you see how the guy works in practice every day, you'll see why he's going to have success on a Monday night or, you know, this week, a Sunday afternoon. The guy works his trade like all of our players, just have just great leadership here that's just keeping the guys moving in the right direction. And we're talking a lot about a lot of the good things that we did with all the positions, but there's so much more room for improvement still with our team.
A lot of that obviously came against a team that plays man, so they play right in your hip pocket, and Brandon Carr is paid to do that, and he is a high-caliber cornerback. I know you respect his play at the cornerback position, so he had his battles with Brandon. Brandon won quite a few of them.
Yes, Brandon did, and Brandon's going to win most of his share, you know, of those battles. And Claiborne was a good corner for them also. They had a good secondary and just a good defense as a whole. That's why it was good to see our offense had its success.
Jay mentioned Kellen Davis also in that little clip you heard there, 3 for 62, but, you know, fighting for the ball and managing to tear it away, that was a big play.
How about that one pass over the top of the defender? But Kellen did a good job blocking too. You know, he's an imposing figure, you know, a target for you to see, you know. It's easy, you know, finding out where he is, but when the ball is thrown his way, a lot of times when you're double covering outside, there's an open inside at the tight end position, and with your running backs, and you have to capitalize on that.
Matt Forte started, said he was ready to go. You guys said he was ready to go. Had to leave after that first snap. What was going through your head?
Oh,
worried, like, okay, because ankles are tricky. I don't care what kind, you know they are too. You know, you just don't want them to linger, and maybe he'll have to fight through it all year, but. Was that a concern at that moment? Like, you know, don't let it become a season-long troubling matter.
I was concerned because, you know, first off, for Matt to work, you know, he got a lot of treatment to get back, you know, a little ahead of schedule, I'll even say. But to have that type, you know, good run. But when you see your, you know, franchise running back go down right away and you see him limping off a little bit, but got the ankle retaped and came back strong and had a good first game back. You should only get better and better.
I know some people wrote that he didn't seem to have the same explosion. That's the eyeball test. What did you see on
tape? Well, I know some people normally, it's always going to be some people that go, that what I saw is a great first game back for a special player, and just to get Matt back into the mix and to keep Michael Bush going, to get Khalil Bales some reps too. Again, offensive staff did a great job.
Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio show brought to you by Sports Authority this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 AM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. It is 7:52 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Chris Conte is your leading tackler through four games, 28 total tackles. Thoughts?
Surprised. I didn't realize that. But, Chris is a good player. And at the free safety position, I mean, free safety, you're in that position to make a lot of tackles a lot of times where we're set up. And he's a willing tackler. He'll stick it in there. Of course, he's got great range. So it doesn't surprise me, but I just know that we have a lot of tacklers on our team, and it could have been one of many.
And I know some people might, well, you know, it's not good when your secondary's leading tackles, but let me let you finish, because you're going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, if you just look at it that way, that maybe the ball is getting bigger. That's not the case. We have our safety a part of the run fit. Most of the time, you can, you know, defensively, you can get an extra guy in the box, and that's where Chris is getting some of his tackles. So it's not like that's necessarily a bad thing. Right. We've been playing pretty good defense.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday he had 11 because, I mean, you guys had the lead for the entire game and start to blow it open the second half, but you knew that Romo was going to be able to complete some passes. You just got to make sure you keep everything in front. So there's going to, I mean, they had over 400 yards.
Yeah.
But it didn't mean much. It was that kind of game. So DJ Moore, Chris Conte, those guys were going to be in a position to make a lot of tackles.
They were going to be in position, and secondary tell you they love those, you know, games where you're not really running the ball. And for us as a defense, we put them in a position where they were one-dimensional, where they were just really throwing the football. And now you can really get the pass rush going. And, yeah, you'll let them dump some of those balls off. But, you know, some of those yardage didn't mean very much.
I think, you know, Dez Bryant, because of his structure and his ability and so forth, certainly on the outside is a danger. But I thought, you know, a quiet Miles Austin is a good day for the Bears. And he was quiet until that last drive before the break and then quiet for another long stretch. Is that something you did or something that they chose to do?
You know, of course, it still has to be on them on who they choose to throw the ball to. But we were set up to, you know, keep the ball in front of us. And wherever they chose to throw it, I felt like we had pretty good matchups, and we did.
Go back to Devin, because that catch was not easy either, because, you know, the natural inclination, I saw Alshon do it as well at one point in the game, is that if you're going to the ground, it's almost instinctual, I would imagine, to take your arm off the ball and break your fall. And both of those guys at one point in the game did that, but still managed to hang on to the football. He made mention late last week, you know, and then after the game, saying he felt canceled out a little bit in the first part of the season, first three games of the season, and he had more catches yesterday than he has had all season. Is he the type of guy, mentality-wise, that you have to at least give him something to keep him feel like he's a part of the offense?
And we're going to do that. You know, part of being a team player is some weeks you may not get a lot of balls thrown your way. You just have to be ready when your opportunity comes. And when we had a play we felt like would be there, and Devin ran a great route on that one, but then you have to finish the job. And you get a one-on-one matchup like that without safety help, the offense has to win, and we won that one.
That's back-to-back weeks outstanding. I mean, virtually perfect routes run by Devin.
Yes.
Killer routes.
I mean, Devin's a good football player. I mean, that goes without saying. And some weeks he'll, you know, get a lot of balls thrown his way, just like all. Some weeks Brandon Marshall won't get as many thrown his way. Same thing with Alshon Jeffrey all the way down the line. But, again, when we do go your way, you have to be able to make the play, and we did.
Join the Bears for a ladies' night out at Soldier Field on October 29th. Meyer Football 101 presented by Chase. Visit ChicagoBears.com to purchase tickets. Your third down defense now second in the NFL. Romo on third down was, I think, 2 of 7. Sacked once, picked once. First down rushing, 3.4 yards a carry. So on both ends of that spectrum, your defense, you got through 1 month, you really can't ask for much more than what you're getting.
No, we like the things that we did, you know, and Jeff finishing up this first quarter. If you just look at what we were able to do defensively the first quarter, we like the way we played third down defense. That's important. We like the way, you know, we took the ball away, takeaways. We like the scores that we're able to get. And even playing the run, you know. We spent a lot of time on our run fits and making a team go towards a pass by shutting down the run. And I feel like we've been able to do that.
And this week, I mean, like I mentioned with Mike Fair, get your thoughts on what Jacksonville does in the run game.
Well, Jones-Drew is a heck of a player. It's kind of simple as that. And Jacksonville is a team that, you know, and for order for them to have success offensively, they have to get their running game going. I know we say that too, but they have to get their running game going with him. And so we have to, you know, shut down that run and put the ball into a young quarterback's hand, throwing it to a young receiver.
And really that's been the case. They're getting good production on first down, running the ball, nearly 5 yards a carry, but things seem to have fizzled after that so far. They have one rushing touchdown. They got a young quarterback. He's only thrown one interception. I don't know how much they're throwing versus running. I don't know that balance, but some of the other weapons that they have there include the top pick, Blackman, another big receiver, which the Bears are very used to defending.
Yes, Mike Mularkey does a great job, first off, with, you know, just knowing offensive football and how he attacks you with a lot of different formations. You know, we played the same offense last year with the Falcons where Mike was. But Blackman is a heck of a player. We spent a lot of time on him in the offseason also. And they have different places, you know, to go with the ball. You know, very good tight end. Offensive line has played good football too.
Give me 5 seconds on their defense. What do you know?
Defense, optimistic. You know, they haven't, you know, taken the ball away an awful lot. I think they only have a couple of sacks, but Mel Tucker does a great job, and we know they're going to play hard.
He is their defensive coordinator. That's going to do it tonight for Bears Insider. Thanks for joining us. For head coach Lovie Smith and defensive line coach Mike Fair, for Andy Gersher, Steve Grzanich, and Bears director of broadcasting Greg Miller, I'm Jeff Joniak. Tom Thayer and myself will be in Jacksonville for a noon pregame, 3 p.m. kickoff between the Bears and Jacksonville. Make sure you tune us in. Thanks for listening, everybody. This is WBBM at HD Chicago, WCFS-FM at HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.